Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's the center of town of Sherman, or they call them towns here. In Indiana, we call them townships, but whatever. Center of town of Sherman in Sheboygan County, Wisconsin. Good to have you all with us here today. That's actually part of our official name, by the way, town of Sherman, Sheboygan County. So I have to get the whole name. Oh, I left out Unaltered Augsburg Confession as well, UAC. Welcome to our Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer. Good to have you with us here today as I seek to help guide you in the way of the scriptures so that you can find greater understanding both of yourself, of the church, and of the world. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I see the comment, Random Lake mailing address, but we are not in Random Lake. Let's say our memory verse for this week. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3, verses 5 through 6. Prayer Psalm for this week, Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Excuse me. I need to get a tickle in my throat. I need my coffee, but I have not yet made my second cup. All right. Our first reading today is from Numbers chapter 21. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the sea, Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Then the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Our reading for catechesis, although it will connect here to the bronze serpent story, is from John chapter 3. Again, we're considering baptism all week. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There ends the reading. All right. Who is Nicodemus? What does it say about him here? Well, he's a man of the Pharisees, you see that, and then also a ruler of the Jews, right? When did he come to see Jesus? Talked about this a little bit yesterday in our post-catechesis conversation. Yeah, he came to see Jesus by night. Why did Nicodemus say Jesus was a teacher who had come from God? See that right here in verse 2. Why do you think he said that? Well, he tells you, right? "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Right? What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? No one can see, he cannot see, or enter, we might also say, the kingdom of God, unless he is born again. By the way, this is a nothen in Greek, can also mean to be born from above. Born from above or born again. What did Nicodemus ask? Of course, logical question, right? This is a logical dialogue, using our reason and sense here to understand the ways of God. There's a danger there, is there not? Well, can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? I couldn't help but think of Anne. She's 38. I don't know. I think 37, 38 weeks pregnant. Yeah, you don't get back in. It doesn't work. A baby wants to come out. How did Jesus define being born again or being born from above? He actually tells us here. Just like we talked about yesterday. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, which of course is talking about baptism. That's correct. Holy baptism. That's what baptism, by the way, means, to be washed with water. When we say holy baptism, we mean a washing with water that's set apart by God, by his word, right? All right. What was meant by that which is born of the flesh is flesh? You might think of Paul's distinction that he makes between the spirit and the flesh. The inheritance of the sons of Adam is sinful flesh, and along with the flesh, then, is death, right? So we're referring to being born, our natural birth, body, soul, spirit, whole thing, right? So then, what is meant by that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yeah, it's what you receive in your baptism, the Spirit of God, who brings Christ's righteousness and his life to you. Which is, how does Paul say it? Right, we have the old Adam and the new Adam, right? The new Adam dwells in us by faith, the new Adam being Christ himself, who dwells in us by faith, right? We are sinners, he dwells in us by faith, and it's his righteousness and his life. That is our life now. Now, why shouldn't Nicodemus be surprised by these words? You notice he says, how can these things be? But he really shouldn't be surprised because he's a teacher of Israel, right? Now, what is Jesus getting after? What should a teacher of Israel have known about the scripture? Genesis 3. If you're a Pharisee, of course you would know. Even if you were a Sadducee, you would know Genesis 3. He would not reject it. Here's what it says. To Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Yep. The curse upon Adam was known by the Pharisees, of course, who studied the books of Moses. All right, then what does Jesus compare the activity of the Spirit to? This is an analogy here, if you like. To the wind, right? What are some important Old Testament connections between the Spirit of God and the wind? See if you can come up with some stories here. The breath of God, the wind. I'm waiting. I don't see any in the chat. I don't know how far behind you are as far as delay here. How about this one? Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left, right? So he caused the sea to go back with a strong east wind, right? So it's God, God's Spirit, which is likened there to a strong east wind that causes the sea to stand up in a heap. How about this one? I don't see another one in the chat yet, so let's see if you know this one. Always thinks I was going to do Ezekiel, but it always thinks I mean Ezra. I don't know. My abbreviation isn't correct. Okay, here we go. Ezekiel 37. You know that one? Where should I start? Jump in here. How about here? Nope, that's Ezra again. Silly computer. There's not 37 chapters in Ezra, so you know that. Okay, here we go. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews of the flesh and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. Look at that. And breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. We got to read a little bit more. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And here it is. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Right? So you see how it's the breath of God, the Spirit of God, that gives life. So we have both of those, the parting of the Red Sea and that. How do you hear the Spirit blowing then? Yeah, through the preaching of the gospel. Think of what Isaiah says in Isaiah 63. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name? There's the wind again. Who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness that they may not stumble. As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Of course, when you think of the wind and the Spirit, what do you probably most often think of? What story? See anybody in the chat? Any ideas? 1 Kings 19. Yes, wind is also mentioned in the Psalms. There it is. Michael says it. I don't know why the chat's... Oh, I have the chat notifications turned off. Turn those back on. So they pop up over my text. Yeah, Pentecost is the thing that you're usually think of, right? But now you can see some of the Old Testament connection. 1 Kings 19 is a good one, too. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah. And then, that's probably sufficient. Good. What is 1 Kings 19? Which story is that? A good guess. That's the still small voice, right, with the sound of the wind. He was not in the earthquake or in the fire, but a still small voice. All right, so you have wind and the small voice there, the voice of the Spirit. I like that. It's a good connection, too. All right. Why did Jesus use plural pronouns here in verse 11? See that here? This happens frequently. It's kind of the royal we, right? But that's not actually a bad way to think of it. He's referring to the Holy Trinity. Notice he's talking about being born again. He's talking about new creation. And you think back to Genesis, right? Where in Genesis, let us make man in our image, right? So we have the plural there as well. What did Jesus say about the things he had been discussing? Right here. That he's been telling them earthly things, right? With the wind, right? So what name is of Jesus is given then in verse 13? A title or name? See it right there. The Son of Man, right? Which is pointing us back to Ezekiel again, and Daniel as well. What was he saying then in verse 13? No one who has ascended to heaven, but he who came down, no one has ascended, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. What's that? What is he saying? This is John chapter 3. I mean, you don't have to go back very far. John chapter 1, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? We're talking about God who came to live among us. Now he's telling Nicodemus that. What Old Testament story here is Jesus referring to? Well, we heard it, right, from Numbers 21, the story of the bronze serpent, right? As Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness and everybody looked on it lived, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that whoever looks upon Jesus will live. Of course, when is the Son of Man lifted up? That's right, upon the cross. What does Jesus ask men to do? What is he asking us to do here? That's right. Believe in him, right? Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And how do we know that God is love? Because it's the next statement, right? For which you've seen football games, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But notice what it follows right on the heels of. The promise of Jesus Christ crucified, that we look upon him, the crucified one, and live, right? So what is the love of God according to Jesus? That he gave his son unto death on the cross to pay the price for our sins. That's what it means to have God love you, right? This is why I'm kind of a stickler for this. I'm a little, I suppose, frustrated that we don't have in our sanctuary a crucifix. We hear of Christ crucified. We frequently preaching that Jesus died for your sins, and yet we have no icon of that. We have empty crosses, I suppose because of the resurrection or something like that, but it's fitting to have both, I think, both to proclaim his death and his resurrection, especially since that's Paul's admonition, as we studied in 1 Corinthians many months ago, right? That we preach Christ and him crucified, a stumbling block and a rock of offense. That's probably why we don't have an actual crucifix, is because it is such an offense and a stumbling block to our sinful flesh. And so we really can't bear to look upon the cross. We only have Good Friday once a year, right? Okay. Meditation on this text. Nicodemus came by night so that his fellow Pharisees would not think evil of him. Jesus' deeds impressed him because Jesus was doing so much good. But Nicodemus did not believe that Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God. Although he was teacher of Israel, Nicodemus knew nothing of the Holy Trinity. Indeed, Nicodemus had not even believed in the curse that he was placed upon all men in Genesis 3. Men of flesh can only produce men of flesh who will die. But the Spirit of God, who first breathed life into all creation, Genesis 1:2, is the very Spirit who can breathe life into all men once again through the saving water of holy baptism. The Spirit is heard as he rushes about everywhere in the preaching of the gospel, but he is not controlled by men. Through the gospel of the Son of Man, the Spirit calls men from death to life. Makes me think of the hymn, O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, your living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift of futile birth, the Franzman hymn, right? Breathe on these, breathe on your chosen slain once more, I think is in the third stanza. Beautiful, beautiful hymn, confession of faith. And really connects well with this text. All right. Before we move on to our catechism and prayer, I did want to talk a little bit about authority. All right. So you saw it referenced here, both in Numbers, right, that the people refused to listen to Moses. And really, by not listening to Moses, they spoke against God as well, right? Because Moses was sent by God. He was his apostle. You have the same thing here, where you have Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, who are of the rulers of the Jews, right? And then he's really questioning Jesus' authority. And by what, you know, how can you say these things? Now, you do these signs, and so that indicates that you have been sent by God, but how can you say such things, right? All right? And he testifies to who he is, that he is the Son of Man, that he's the one sent by God, just like Moses, although not just like Moses, because he's God's own son. I wanted to do a little thought experiment with you. All right, so do you listen to me as your pastor because it's my office, because I've been duly elected and appointed, because I say you have to? Or do you listen to me because you've examined the words that come from my mouth? You listen each day, you faithfully hear, and you always compare what I say, and especially in catechesis, to the word that's before you, right? Which is written in the scriptures. Are you listening to me because of my authority, or do you listen to me because of the trustworthiness of the things that I speak? Right. I'm not saying that I haven't been sent with authority, but trust, on the other hand, is not a gift of the authority, but it's a gift of, well, it is a gift of the authority in a sense, right? But that authority is not properly exercised if the word that I speak is not the word that I've been given to speak under that authority. Right. Now, this is really important because. I made a comment yesterday on Facebook, and I'm one strike away from being banned from Facebook for 30 days because of these sort of things. Daring to speak what I would say truth when it's not the narrative that the world is telling you, right? So we have many authorities in our world. We have politicians, of course. We have medical authorities. We have other kinds of civil authorities. We have scientific authorities. You have media authorities, all sorts of people. Sometimes they're self-appointed. Sometimes, you know, they're elected, you know, all sorts of kinds of authorities, right? But an authority has the burden of demonstrating the veracity of what they say, proving it. So it's not enough to simply say something is true. Well, because I say so. Okay. Think about how a children responds to parental authority. It's the same thing, right? Parents can say, well, you have to because you're my child. But it doesn't actually get you very far because a child will eventually rebel against that authority. Yeah, that's right. They point me to Christ, you speak the truth of the Bible. Right, but how do you know it's true? And this is my key. And I posted something on Facebook, you can go and read. I don't think it's going to get a strike, unlike the other things that have gotten strikes, which are other ways that I've tried to present the truth to people of what they're seeing through evidence. Right, and that's the key. It comes through evidence. It comes through reason and sense. It comes through the use of intellect that God has given, right? And so when you read the Bible, it's not, yes, the Spirit is at work in the words, right, giving faith, but God also gives you, in service to faith, reason and ability so that you can examine those words. You can look at things like grammar. You can look at word meanings. You can compare one text of Scripture to another text, right, to see what's going on. You can look at things like context. And that's partly what we're doing here is I'm training you to do that. Thanks, Chris. I hear the truth through you giving me the gospel. What I'd like to suggest to you, yes, trustworthiness. Thanks, Michael. If a man or woman, child, whatever, is worthy of trust, it's been earned through these powers of intellect, right? Demonstrating the truth through wisdom and through knowledge, but also mostly through evidence. And the most frustrating thing, I think, and I would say this is a far bigger problem than anything to have to do with the election, but I think we can look at COVID and our response to COVID in a similar way. But I think it's bigger than that, is that when we pray against authoritarianism or dictatorial rule, as we were doing for some time there, we were praying actually against those who would claim to have the truth, but refuse to demonstrate the truth. And this is the most frustrating thing, I think, to describe 2020 and now 2020 point part two, or 2021 if you prefer, is that we continue to have elected and other kinds of leaders and authorities in our world refuse to demonstrate the veracity of their claims. So they claim to speak truth, they claim to speak fact, and yet they refuse to demonstrate it. They say, well, you just have to trust us, for example, would be one way. Or you haven't proven to me the evidence. And like, well, you haven't given us an opportunity to demonstrate the evidence, right? And then, of course, just flat-out misleading claims. I'll give you one example. To claim that a particular speech incited people to riot on November 6th doesn't actually follow the facts. Because the fact is that the Capitol was breached 20 minutes before the speech ended. Those people who breached the Capitol, just through basic reason, could not have actually, they weren't even at the speech. They never even heard the speech. Not only is it a misleading claim, it's actually just a flat-out falsehood that one particular speech incited people to violence. It's not actually possible. Logistically, you can't be in two places at one time. And the speech wasn't even being broadcast on mainstream media, so it would have been even hard to say, to be at the Capitol watching the speech over the internet, and then, I don't know, I guess that's possible. But that's not the way the narrative is being spun, right? And that's why I keep using the word narrative, because it's storytelling. Sometimes stories are true, sometimes they're not, right? We have mythology. And so we have to be very careful here, not jumping to conclusions, but actually allow truth claims to, and actually demand that truth claims be demonstrated. So I appreciate that you hold me to account for that as I'm reading, as we're studying the scriptures together. And I urge you to do that, including like my sermon. So I actually were looking for responses to, like, in particular, last Sunday's sermon, to know whether or not what I was saying people believe is in harmony both with the reality that we're experiencing and also the truth of the scripture. And if you don't do that, you will be misled. Because that's what sinful men and women do, as they seek to dominate, to be in power, to control, to manipulate. Children do it with their parents. Parents do it with their children. Teachers do it with their students. I not necessarily always intentionally, but maybe do it with the congregation. And I need you to hold me to account for that. And the same way that you hold your leaders, and the media and scientific authorities, to account to demonstrate the veracity of what they claim to be true or fact. So don't just say something is true or fact. Don't allow them to do that, but actually require that they demonstrate the veracity of it through evidence or through even just basic skills of logic and reason. Okay, so just a little. I'm going to put that in the middle of the devotion. Sometimes I put those kind of rants at the end, but you see, that's really what Nicodemus is doing with Jesus. He's holding him to account, as he should. And Jesus speaks to him of higher things than simply earthly birth, right? He's speaking of a heavenly birth. And he has to lead them. He has to show him. And he even uses scripture to do so, both Genesis 3, but also Numbers 21. And then, of course, maybe Ezekiel 37. Those texts are in the background. And he knows that Nicodemus will understand. And of course, we see, to draw this to a conclusion, we see Nicodemus does come to faith and belief, and that he comes and he assists Joseph of Arimathea at the end of John's gospel in preparing Jesus' body for burial and putting him in the tomb. All right, so the word works. Let's confess baptism. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So incidentally, I see that Luther does the same thing that I was just advocating for. He makes a statement, what is baptism? And then, which is that word of God, right? What benefits does baptism give? And rather than just making an assertion about truth, he demonstrates it from God's own word. All right, and it's clear, it's direct, yes. All right. Let's pray. On this Wednesday, we pray for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. Pray for parents who must rear their children alone. We pray for our communities and neighborhoods. We pray the Lord give to all people concord and peace, that He preserve our land from discord and strife, that He give our country His protection in every time of need, that He direct and defend our duly elected president and all others in authority, that He bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, that He watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, that He protect and guide all who travel, that He grant all women with child, especially Anne, and all mothers with infant children, increasing happiness and their blessings, that He defend all orphans and widows and provide for them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray in Thanksgiving with Doug and Bryson, who both celebrate their birthday today. Oh, that's a coincidence. We also pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Marcella, Kelsey, Jan, Amanda, John, Billy Joe, Brad, and Janet, Timothy, Robert, Sandy, Linda, Joan, Ken, Penny, Roman, and his family. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray for our homebound, Bev, David, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey. Pray for all the missions and mercy work of the church, especially Lutheran Church Charities, Comfort Dogs, and Sheboygan County Hispanic Outreach. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the collect for this week. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children, and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, today I'm going to read as poetry stanzas 1 and 4 of our hymn for this week, To Jordan Came Christ, the Christ our Lord. To Jordan came the Christ our Lord to do his Father's pleasure. Baptized by John, the Father's word was given to us to treasure. This heavenly washing now shall be a cleansing from transgression, and by his blood and agony, release from death's oppression. A new life now awaits us. There stood the Son of God in love, his grace to us extending, the Holy Spirit like a dove, upon the scene descending, the triune God assuring us with promises compelling, that in our baptism he will thus among us find a dwelling to comfort and sustain us. Amen. All right. So that concludes our congregation at prayer for today. I didn't tell you what the date was at the beginning. January 13th, 2021. So good to have you with us. Today is Wednesday. It's a particularly busy Wednesday. It's a busy week. It's making it very challenging for me to perform all my pastoral duties. I had a doctor appointment yesterday. I got many doctor appointments this afternoon with the kids. I have appointments on Thursday and Friday as well. So it's just been a crazy week already, and it's just going to get crazier, which is okay. It's just what it is, but it does mean I'm going to have to neglect some pastoral duties this week and hopefully catch up on them next week. But this evening, well, I have these appointments this afternoon. So if all goes as planned, I'll have time to prepare yet after chapel this morning, and then we have to take off to Milwaukee and then come back for catechesis and then have Bible study at 7-ish this evening. So watch for that. In the event that I just don't feel that I'm to the point where we can conduct the class, there'll probably be an announcement on Facebook. Okay? That's where most of you watch. So if you don't see the stream, don't worry. Nothing happened. Just wait till next week. But I'd like to do it if at all possible and make every attempt to do it. And I don't expect that that there'll be a problem with that. So just in the event that something doesn't seem to go right, don't worry. Everything's okay. All right. And by the way, I didn't want to say this in the middle, but I'll say it now for those of you who've hung around. Those who hold to authority without the authority actually providing proof or demonstration of the veracity of the things that they say are true, if they say just trust us, that's called a cult, right? So we have many cults in this world. We have religious cults. We have medical cults. We have political cults. I'd say our political parties often are very cult-like, maybe one more than the other, but regardless, Chinese Communist Party is a cult. You have to agree with them even if you know the things they say are false, right? So cult-like behavior. I think we'll probably do a banned books episode or maybe a series on them at some point. I'm discussing or looking at cult behavior and how you can recognize them. All right. So yes. Hold your leaders in your authorities accountable for the words they say. Don't trust them without evidence. That's what I'm saying. Without proof of the claims that they make. There you go. Lord be with you all. And God willing, we'll see you this evening for our Bible study on the book of Hebrews. See you then.